I'm going to ask you to turn with me to the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 13. I'm going to start reading at verse 26. This is one of those very familiar accounts that we're acquainted of. It's talking about the spies that were sent out, and they came back to report. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel and to the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. They brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Father, thank you for another beautiful day to serve you. Thank you for the blessings of life and the many blessings that overshadow us today. The privilege of being here in the house of the Lord. We would ask again that you'll remember the many that have been brought to us in need of prayer while we are enjoying a measure of health and strength. Be with those that need a touch today. Pray, Father, that you will bless your word to our hearts this morning. Help us to honor you, and we will give you thanks. In thy name we pray. Amen. I want to read one more verse. I'll be referring to it probably a little bit later. In the next chapter, 14, and verse 9. I'm just picking this out for a reason. Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. I want to just share a few little thoughts with you this morning. I like the words. That's what I'm going to use this morning, so I need to like them. But in all that the spies saw, it seems the emphasis is on that little phrase, we saw the giants. And after all, if they're bigger than everything else, I guess that's what you would see. But thinking about this, it seems to me that right now, among our own people and basically with everyone, it seems like the enemy is doing his best to cause you and me to get our eyes off Canaan land and in my father's house and to see the giants all around us. And they do look big. And I know you're not supposed to do this, but I'm tired of the whole mess. To some people, Obama looks like a giant, but the mess we're in is you have to remember he's not God. You say, don't say anything politically. That's not politically. I just said he's not God. Is that political? You're not God. So if you make anybody feel better, I'll say Romney's not God. Okay, and we'll balance this out. It's serious stuff. And if you listen to our own people and listen to yourself, there are times it seems like, you know, what are we ever going to do? The giants. Let's be realistic this morning. I pastored one place a lot of years ago, and it was a good man. I mean, he was a good man, no question about it. But man, I got to thinking after a while. We'd be in prayer meeting, you know, and somebody jump up, oh, wonderful, I want to tell what God did, then I'm praising God, you know. But it's funny. Over and again, if you'd listen long enough, pretty soon you would hear him go, and you know when he started that, he was going to rise. He was soon to hit the runway. After a while, pastoring, it began to dawn on me, you know, boy, this was good. And when he got up, it seemed like, oh. And that's okay, but like I said, he was a good man, but he would say, stand up, Brother Myers, we need to pray for our nation. Well, we knew that. We're in prayer meeting to pray, but you know, Brother Myers, you know. And, you know, after a while, I mean, time after time, hey, thank God for the, he answered prayer this week. Oh, you know. I have to be careful. I see some of you, I think you may know where I was, and you never guess the man, I hope. Remember my point. He was a good man. He found a book, and the book was giving off his feelings. The cover was... And he wanted to get a bunch of them and pass them out. And I thought, oh, man. So I got a message together. I may have got in the flesh. I hope not. But I was trying to help my people. And I said, folks, listen, I want you to know we need to be positive. You need to be not always negative. You need to be reading some good stuff. And I was talking about if there's be any good report, think on these things. And I just laid it on and laid it on. He met me at the door and he hung back. I thought, uh-oh. Brother Myers, I almost think he complimented the message. But he says, you know, Brother Myers, every positive needs a negative. So I tried anyway. And he's telling the truth, right? You can't start your car without a positive and a negative. But come on. They asked him to sing one time. The only time I ever remember him singing, and it probably was good, but he sang once. He came up to the platform. He said, before I sing, he said, I want to tell you, if I come up missing, he said, what in the world? He worked off in the boondocks, but the idea back then, he must have known a little bit about the communists and whatever. If I come up missing, you know, just remember, you know. After some time, I thought, well, have a good trip. Whoa, man. I mean, it got where, everywhere you looked was a giant in his mind. We need to pray. Okay. But my friends, all I'm trying to say this morning, a little bit of encouragement, maybe we could ask God, help me to focus, Lord. I don't want to exaggerate. Ask my wife. I think almost every day, nearly every day, I get mail from some organization that we need to do this, we need to do that. And I agree with them, but after a while, they go out and I get the mail. And that's where we are. If we're not careful, we get in that mode, but no matter what the clouds are, as Brother Kay said, say what you want and don't worry, the sun is shining right now. It is. And God, three heartbeats, you and Obama are out of here. So I had to say you first. I mean, God is in control. If we can only remember that. It's a matter of what you want to see. I'm getting a little long here. I got to cut this right down now. This is crazy. But you can go all the way through the scripture. You can go back in any account. There were some fellows on the hillside, shepherds. They saw the star. Some saw the angels. They said, hey, let's go. They saw the manger. They saw Mary. They saw the Christ child. But there were still leaders over there like this. It's a matter, we can just about see what we want to see. I was trying to remember that little, oh man. So far, you'll forgive me, but so long ago, I know you folks remember. What was that, a little cat or something went to England, and what did you see there? Oh, I saw a little mouse under the chair. Never saw the queen. I saw a little mouse under the chair. But I want to tell you something, my friends. There are little things that can alarm us, but every day we face the common giant. It's faced by all men. In our families, social, business, personal lives, we encounter giants which seem to overwhelm us. When, you know the old story, you get tired and don't feel good, and who's your first visitor? The enemy jumps right on you. You say, well, I don't know what's going on. Go to bed and get some sleep. One preacher was really going through the throes. I mean, he was really down. And he was at Victory Grove, and he struggled, and he fasted and prayed, and almost crawled to the altar. And the evangelist got down, and he said, young man, I want to tell you what you want to do. He said, get up from this altar, go get a good meal, and go to bed. For that kid, it was the best advice he could give him, and I think it helped. The enemy just beats on. Things can become big. Now, I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to talk about somebody that you know, and don't get alarmed. He would love it because we have laughed together. He would be glad to stand right here and have me tell this because he loves those times in life. Anybody here ever hear of Paul Pierpoint? I was his roommate in Bible school. Pray for me and hold out to the end. And he'd love this, so don't get excited. That's not reflecting on Brother Pierpoint, only it's his personality, and he would love to know that I talked about him this morning and laughed. He really would. He would love it. I was in Haiti with him. Oh, boy. Wow. Let me take you back just a little bit. I pastored at Fox Hill. He pastored in Northville. I was talking to him on the phone and said, yeah, Paul, that's it. No, I'm not disrespectful. We were close friends, and I called him Paul. It wasn't out of disrespect. He called me Don. Okay. I said, Paul, and all of a sudden the phone is silent. Total silence. Paul. Pretty soon, a laid-back voice says, Donnie, it was Leela. Speedy Leela. She says, Donnie, you ought to see Paul. He's here up in a chair. He's talking to me and he saw a mouse. It's all over. Now, we laugh at that, but to Paul Pierpoint, a mouse is a giant. I'm in Haiti with him. When we left in Mirabalay, you walk out of the compound, they close the gate. When you come back, you clap, they see you, and they let you back in. It was night. We went up into town. I mean, no kidding. It was a little different culture. I mean, we stepped in a little corner place, and we looked in the window, and right there, here's one of their policemen looking at us. He said, oh, this is okay. We walked up in pretty soon. We heard this boom, 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 off. He says, Myers, we better get out of here. So we did. We headed back. We got back. And just as we came up to the compound, Brother Whitney was with us. And Brother Whitney went a little fast by one of the windows. We didn't give it any thought. He said, how'd you see him? We were close enough to the village where they had like one or two little lights. That's about all you had. We had one little bulb in our room. So we got in there. We got in the bedroom. And Paul is looking in the mirror. And Brother Whitney got my attention. And he goes to me. He says, what Brother Whitney was doing, they were trying to chase a mouse and they killed it. So very graciously, rather than, you know, wait till the next day for a formal funeral, Brother Whitney put it on a little napkin and placed it down by Paul Pierpoint, the foot of his bed. Paul sat like this. He saw that. He says, Whitney, get that out of here. Whitney, get that out of here. Well, this went on. You say, what foolishness? Now, wait a minute. We dozed off. I slept in a double bed here, Brother Whitney. Here's a bed here. Pierpoint's feet are almost to my head. Myers. Paul, what is wrong? And it was dark. He said, Myers, get a light. Get up and look around. He said, there's a mouse in here. I said, okay, another one of these giants. He said, look in the waste can. I'm looking in the waste can. I said, Pierpoint, there is no mouse here. Well, this was the climax of it all. Okay, Myers. He said, go on. You and Whitney go back to sleep. I'll stand guard. Well, I'll never forget those words. I'll stand guard. Yeah, I felt so secure, so comfortable. Now, you don't mind a little pleasantry, and neither does Brother Pierpoint, so don't think he's going to feel bad. He'd love to hear that I talked about him. But, you know, in his mind, he grew up, he is literally scared to death of a mouse. Now, my friends, in our lives, we can smile at that, but you know, sometimes we're doing almost the same thing if we're not careful. You know, God wants to help us, but Brother Myers, you don't understand. This is what? Some things, they seem to loom very high. We don't know what we're going to do. The enemy magnifies things over and over and over and over again. Now, I'll tell you what happens. Giants ordinarily are seen, listen, they are seen in forward duty. There were no giants, remember, back in the wilderness. You ever read about any giants in the wilderness? You never read of any giants in the wilderness. But when they started forward and they are going to the promised land, you press toward the good things of God. Mark it down every time there are going to be giants lurking up to scare the daylights out of us and to cause us to back off. I tell you, faith produces conflict. The power of God never appears on the scene without arousing opposition. And that's where I can't stand the opposition. I can't stand. Then, my friends, you're out of the battle. If you're going to fight for God, if we're going to do anything for the Lord, I promise. I don't want to scare you, but I promise you there are going to be giants ahead. But the promised land is there. The grapes of Eshcol are there. And one fellow was preaching and he said, I mean, some of those bananas they brought. Somebody said, the Bible didn't say anything about bananas. He said, you didn't get over in there far enough. I hope that's not adding to the word, but I'm only repeating somebody else. Let me ask you a question, really. There is someone here that may have seen a giant. Have anybody here ever seen a real giant? I'm talking about a giant. Have you ever seen a real giant? Well, I have. I was preaching some years ago in Shelbyville, Indiana, Brother Smith's church. I started preaching. And way in the back of the church on that side, there was a lady there. And in some sense, I didn't give it a lot of thought, but in some sense, it seemed like that she was standing up all the time I was preaching. Well, later on when I went back, I had just finished preaching to the tallest woman in the world. She was sitting down. She was in a wheelchair. She was tallest woman in the world. I forget, she was between 7'6", or between something like that. For a woman, tallest woman in the world. Boy, don't I feel important? I preached to the tallest woman in the world. You didn't. No, you understand. Sister Montgomery, I know, probably, yeah, you know something about that. They're from out there. So I'm not telling stories. But I pastored in Tunkhannock, Pennsylvania in the 60s, and somewhere around 65, 66 in there, we shopped in the Acme Market. And an advertisement came out that there was going to be a giant down to the Acme Market, and I think he was going to be advertising Armor hot dogs. We said, man, you know, that'd be kind of neat, you know. I mean, I'll tell you in a little bit how tall they said he was. They said this guy was 8'6", the tallest man in the world. You know, we didn't want to act like kids. Now, let's go see a giant. No, but we didn't want anybody to. But boy, we better go down. So we went down. That's where we did our shopping. I tell you, it's a funny feeling. We grabbed our cart, and you know, you say, oh, so there's a giant here, big deal. No, you didn't. In other words, you didn't want people looking at you saying, oh, they're looking there here to see the giant. So we took our cart, and we'd look up this aisle, you know, and we came around this corner, and I mean, here he came, 8'6". He had shoes size 25. Ask my wife. You don't believe me, you think I'm deranged. Ask her. She was there. She's still pretty intact. I mean, if you could see this man coming, can you imagine laying a shoe down like that? It was like this. And he's coming right towards us. You know, you just want to smile and say, oh, good morning. I mean, this guy was humongous. Can just imagine looking up at an 8'6", step aside lest one of those feet step on you. He was real. And I want to tell you something, he had our attention. We weren't looking at the ice cream counter or the meat counter. We were looking at the giant. These guys saw the giants. Big people. And as foolish as I am sometimes in my thinking later on, I got to thinking to myself, this is so foolish. You know, look at them. I'm macho, right? 160 pounds, 65 pounds. I got thinking, I bet I could handle that guy. I'm thinking by myself, you know. I dare say that I could handle him. I thought I could come up to him and smile and kick him right in the shins. You know, kick him right here. His shin, his knees up here. Can't miss. Kick him right in his shin. And, you know, he's human. He goes, oh! And when he came down, belt him right under the chin. He'd stand up again, said, oh, kick him, and when he came down, nail him again. You say, that's foolish. Now, wait a minute. What are you going to do, Martin? No. In that store, feet this big, he couldn't come close to catching me. You say, we came to church to hear that nonsense. Now, wait a minute. What are you doing with your giants? He says, oh, yeah. Lord, I can't handle him, but with you, I need victory over these giants. Lord, I need victory today. How? And you get alone, you say you're alone, and I think, I can handle him, yeah. But you get alone and say, Lord, nobody knows I'm in this valley. Nobody knows I'm struggling with this battle, but you can help me. And the enemy lurks up and makes you see the giant over and over and over again. But I want to tell you, when God comes on the scene in prayer, the Lord can give you and me victory over all of that nonsense, over all that he brings about to us. And let me tell you, friends, you can say what you want to. There are people, the enemy magnifies things over and over and over again. I think of somebody, I mean, it seems like every time they had anything to say, it was, oh. I thought to myself, there is an answer to this. I never told him. I still have a little sermon I'd like to give someday. I thought to myself, hey, pal, if you think everything is going down, it's all going down. Get right, come back right over here and either get behind the wagon or in front. Either push or pull. You know, because always stand back here. Oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. Oh, man, nonsense. Get over here and push or pull. Oh, man, the ship's going down. And so I feel like saying, hey, pal, come over here if the boat's going down and help us to bail. We're here bailing. The fires are going out. Hey, I got something else for you. Grab a chain. Get over here and cut some wood. You think the fire's going out? Push, pull, bail, cut wood. Don't ever quote me, but shut up. Well, or keep still. The quickest way to say it in English is to shut up. Now, I've never told him that. Jesus help me, I may someday. No, I may not. Oh, praise the Lord. But you know, the giant, come on. If there's giants here, if there's problems here, give us a hand. Join the crowd. But the majority of them said, we saw the giants. Thank God for a Joshua and a Caleb. Thank God somebody comes through and says, hey, wait a minute. And I'm not saying I'm a Caleb. Don't understand that. But I do want to stand here and at least in a small measure, as human as I am, say, folks, let's not give up. We can still do it. With God's help, we still can make it to the Canaan land. We can still conquer. Let's not throw in the sponge. But that, if we're not careful, that's where we are. Well, I must hurry to tell you, it's interesting. But if we're not careful, the enemy will exaggerate things over and over and over again. Years ago, I was at Fox Hill. Mike Bills wanted to take me fishing one time down in the Arlen Vlie. That was the water supply for Amsterdam. And we would go in there at night. We were going to go in at night and fish all night. And, you know, that's pretty dense woods up there, quiet and nice. But we were going to go, and there was a little kid. He was one of the Edwards boys. He had just a little lisp, but he said to me, he heard we were going. He said, Brother Marius, could I go in there fishing with you? And I said, well, be all right with me if your parents don't care. They said I could go. I said, okay. So he went with us. We got in there, and man, it was nice. Here's the Arlen Vlie. We built a nice fire. Started fishing. We're going to stay all night. This is fun. And so we're fishing. The little guy pulls in. All of a sudden, he's stuck. He gets caught. He's sitting there. The line is taut. Simultaneously, and the Vlie wasn't too wide, just over there coming down, a coyote yelps. And another. There's a pack of them coming right over there down the other side of the water. I mean, that kid grew up there, but I figured, you know, he heard those coyotes. His line is taut. This kid. All of a sudden, he said, All in favor of going home, say I. This way, all in favor of going home, say I. And I made a foolish mistake. I said, that's all up to you guys. Snap, I mean, he broke that line. No kidding, I mean, right now, he's reeling that line in. The next thing you know, we're standing up, putting the fire out. You know, if animals are coming, if you're ever in the woods, don't put your fire out. They're not going to come to the fire. Stand by the fire, they're not going to hurt you. We're putting the fire out, and it's all dark. Well, you could tell this little kid, instead of coyotes, these are elephants. They're going to eat me up. I want to go home to my mother. I want to see my mother one more time. You could tell. And so we got in line. Mike started out. I followed Mike. We're going back out. And this kid was behind me. I started to whistle. And when I did, that kid goes, right in front of, right between us now. We got almost out to the van, and it was dark. If you ever walk through the woods, I stepped on a limb here, and it was out under the brush, and about 8 feet out there, it comes up out there, the end of the limb. I mean, this little kid almost went airborne. Now, I don't want to make this bigger than it was, but it just seemed like the kid is imagining. The coyotes were there. There was a limb over here. But, I mean, that limb is one of the coyotes. And we smile at this little kid. But I didn't want him to be afraid, but he was. He was scared to death. And before we got back there, I mean, I want to tell you something. Those coyotes were 8 feet high, 12 feet long, and mouths this big. Now, we can laugh at a kid. Let me tell you something, friends. Sitting right here, we've gone to our room sometimes and turned the light out. And boy, the enemy looked awfully big. The problem looked awfully big. Till we wept and said, God, this is bigger than me. It is bigger than me. Well, I don't mean to bore you to tears with little stories. But I've seen this. I told you I was camping with my boys the other day, but years and years ago when my boys were small, I took them hiking with me with Gary Vosberg from Schenectady. I took them back into the Cedar River. We hiked way back in. And again, we were probably 17, 18 miles from the hard road. So we were back in. But we were catching trout like you wouldn't believe. We caught 65 trout in that trip. Believe it or not, 65. And with four of us, take two. We could have legally brought out 80 trout. We caught 65 trout. We were having more fun. But the alders were right up close to the stream. I'm probably from here to the edge of the building here. Andy is just around some of these shrubs. You can't see him. He's right there. He says, Dad, can I come up with you? And I said, sure, Andy, come on up. He's only a little guy then. So he came around, hit the path. He's coming up to where I am. He stepped over a log, and all of a sudden, he let out a scream. When he stepped over that log, he stepped right into a bee's nest. And we're a long ways from somewhere. And those bees were all over. Gary Vosberg came up and saw what was happening. He reached over that log and snatched him out of there and got away. And I got all the way around back to Andy, and he was crying. He was just a little guy. I said, Andy, where did they sting you, son? He said, all over. Boy, that's a bad thing, 17 miles from your car or whatever. I guess we drove in partway. But anyway, that's immaterial. So we got him, and we started searching and searching and searching. When we got all done with all the bee stings, he got stung one time on the finger. But let me tell you, this little guy feels that sting and sees these hundreds of bees all over. It did look like giants. To this day, he'll let you know. I mean, we talked about this the other day. That was a fearful thing. Where'd you get stung? All over. One sting. I don't need to try to prove my point, but humanly, a lot of us have been there when we felt like men. Man. When you got searching around, it really wasn't as big as you thought it was. But humanly speaking, it seemed to be that way. Well, let me come to a close here. Their idea, they said, we saw the giants, and we were, in our own eyes, as grasshoppers. It's quite a contrast. We saw the giants, and we were like grasshoppers. Well, let me tell you something. It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers. God looks down, and we are as grasshoppers. But isn't it amazing that he knows exactly where you are, and you are, and you are, and you are? And not only that, he knows exactly the street you live on and the number. And it's amazing, he actually has the hairs of your head numbered. And then he has written you in the palm of his hand. Oh, there's Myers again, poor kid. But go help him. And he sends angels to lift us and to strengthen us and to bring us through. Friends, I don't know altogether why this message came around, but I can tell you this much. I trust God will help us. I trust he will help us to see what is good for us. David, he saw the giant, but he saw five little stones, just no problem here. Four extra stones. Do you ever know why he had four extra stones? Goliath had four brothers. If they show up, take care of them too. It's all the matter. Here's the guys, the army. Hey, send somebody over. David was looking for them to leap into action. And they didn't. You little stripling, why don't you go home with Dad? I will in just a little bit. I got one thing to do. I'll be right back. He goes down and picks up stone. Jonathan Fall, I heard him say one time, he said, somebody heard Goliath when he fell. He said, I never had anything like that enter my mind before. Listen, friends, and I'm done. I ought to be. We see the giants, they're there. Things aren't rosy out there. There are problems, no question about it. But let's keep focused. Let's keep focused.
Right, that's it.
Because when he looks down and sees you or you or you or you going through that time, our brother quoted that the other night, shall give his angels charge over thee to bear thee up in their hands as thou dash the foot against the stone. Have you ever thought about that? I just close with this thought. Have you ever thought about that? He gives his angels charge over thee. One night, one came down. He was surrounded, had a letter, let God read it. I'm surrounded. One angel that night killed, what was it? 180,000, was it? My memory slips me. Sennacherib came down. The angel of the Lord killed 180,000 or something like that. I'm trying to figure in my head here. 185, I think it was. Anyway, 185,000, the angel. And say, wow, 185,000. But remember, if you're having problems, he said he'd give his angels charge over you. So angels as plural, at least two. So your two angels at minimum can handle 370,000. Read the book. I'm not, it's there for you. Yeah, too. Oh, you're looking at me, Myers. Come on, we want to go eat. Okay. We're going to let you go eat, but I want you to go comfortable. I always kind of liked, you know, if you ever see a picture of the president, if he moves, if he's in a crowd, if he moves, if you look close, there's probably 12 to 20 men with dark glasses. If he moves, they step. If he moves this way, they move. I don't know, but I have heard that every one of those men, if there is a problem, all they have to do is unbutton one button, and right here, they can flip up a machine gun and handle the whole crowd. I used to tell some of you folks that think you're so cute, watch out for Myers. Two angels. Say, well, in our day, so 370,000, they've got armies of millions. Okay, then go home and do a little math. He could, remember at the cross, he could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world. Say, 10,000 angels, yeah. But if each one could handle 185, go home and multiply that, it comes out to 1,850,000,000. You're dismissed. Let's keep focused, friends.